Once upon a time, there was a beautiful princess named Wilgefortis who wanted to dedicate her life to God. But unfortunately, her father, the king, was not a Christian and would not allow her to make that choice. He insisted that she would marry a heathen prince because, in his eyes, his daughter was his property and his pawn. It was more important to him to strengthen his own power by making an alliance than it was to recognize that his daughter might have other dreams. Historically speaking, women have never had as many choices in life, and this princess was no exception. Wilgefortis might not have had much power or agency to speak of, but her father certainly did. And so he had her arrested and put behind bars. There's a delightful song about St. Wilgefortis by a Finnish singer-songwriter named Rebecca Clamp. I often link people to it when they ask who on earth this saint is that they've never heard of. As she tells the story in her song, "And so her father threw her into prison. To think about it." Anyway, well, she was there. She prayed for a miracle because she knew that she wanted to give her life to God and not to a husband that her father had chosen for her. She prayed for a miracle to prevent the wedding, and God answered her prayer. She found herself with a full beard. So her father came to see her, probably fully expecting that after some time in a cell, surely she would have come to her senses and been ready to agree to the marriage. But no. There she was, beard and all, still holding strong, and still praying to the God that the king didn't believe in. Lo and behold, her prayer was answered. And now that she had so much facial hair, the prince was no longer interested, and the wedding was called off. But nothing is ever that simple. And the king was still angry. And now that his daughter was defiantly bearded, he couldn't very well marry her off for his own political benefit. And so he had her crucified. The princess is known by different names in different languages. In Latin, her name is Wilgefortis, which means courageous virgin, but even in the Middle Ages, not everyone spoke Latin. In English, she might be known as Uncomber or Ontkomer in Dutch, both of which means someone who avoids something, like the marriage she didn't want. In German, her name is Quirinis, which means grief. But in Italian, she is Liberata, which means liberated. And in French, she is Deborah, which means riddance, like good riddance to the groom she never agreed to. Wilgefortis might not be the most popular saint today, and she's never had the kind of fame that someone like St. Francis of Assisi or Joan of Arc has. But I mention her different names because I do want to emphasize that her story was not obscure when it first began to be told. It resonated with people across Europe, especially women, but not exclusively. And it was told in many different languages. She starts showing up in art during the Middle Ages, but I also want to emphasize that chapels continued to be formally and officially dedicated to the saint as recently as 1944, which is very recent in the scheme of things. I love this story. Wilgefortis is my favorite saint. But I don't want to give you the impression that the story really happened, per se. See, when different styles of religious art traveled around Europe and came to people who spoke a different language than the text that might come with it, or for that matter, came to people who couldn't read at all, they might see a painting of a figure in a long robe and a crown on a cross, and rather than thinking, ah, yes, this artist is emphasizing the role of Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. No, they saw a woman with a beard, and so they built up a story around the image that they saw until it grew a life of its own. There are a lot of things from the Middle Ages that seem absurd to us today. The belief that perfume could save you from the plague, for example. The funny shoes, the things people got beheaded for, and so on and so forth. It was a very different time. But as odd as the story of Wilgefortis is, it is something that has outlived the Middle Ages, and outlived the Renaissance, and outlived the Industrial Revolution, and so on, and it's a story that is still being told today, even if she is no longer officially considered a saint by the Catholic Church. Technically, she never existed as a real historical figure, but obviously her story has meant a lot to people throughout the centuries. When Wilgefortis prayed for divine intervention, she was granted facial hair, which was enough to call off the wedding, because overturning the patriarchal society overnight wasn't the miracle that God was going to give her. I think the reason why I love St. Wilgefortis so much is because her story, though medieval and fantastical, is in some ways my story, and the very real and very modern story of many women. We aren't always asked for our consent, whether that's in being married off to some heathen prince for a land treaty, or whether it's being grabbed at, or assaulted, or treated like an object to be used and thrown away. In many ways, large and small, our society makes it easier to be a man than a woman. Despite the progress that we've made over the years, it's still true. I can understand the desperate prayer for a miracle to be saved from being pushed into a choice you would never make for yourself. I can understand the exhaustion of being expected to meet seemingly arbitrary standards of the way we as women are supposed to look or act or live. It's not often that women are crucified anymore, because that hasn't been a standard method of execution for a very long time. But society still finds ways to punish us for not fitting the mold. Wilgefortis has been my favorite saint since, I think, the first time I ever heard her story. She is a daily reminder that we are all perfect and beautiful in the eyes of God, despite being hairy or unfeminine or ugly or unruly or any other limitation that society puts on us and uses to tell us that we will never be good enough. This is a lie. We are not only good enough. We are beloved children of God. And we are sublime.